Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I want us to go to the book of Acts chapter 8. And, you know, it's a lot of times on New Year's Day, well, after New Year's Day, we talk about and kind of set our compass for the coming year. But we did that, on Wednesday night because I just really felt impressed of the Lord to talk about something you really don't hear a lot of preaching about, and that's about water baptism. Thank you for your enthusiasm, but I think you're going to get something out of this. We need to know what it means. And so, if I had to put a title on it, I would call this, "What is water baptism?" Let's just ask that question. What is water baptism? And so, we have a few being baptized this morning, and I wanted to just minister to them, but this will also help all of us to realize what happened when we were baptized. Amen. Might make you want to get rebaptized, I don't know. We'd be willing to do that, of course, but you don't have to. But I'm just saying, it might. And I want us to begin with a story in Acts chapter 8. And if you'll find verse 35, we'll begin there, Acts 8, 35. The Bible says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him." Now, let me tell you what this is talking about, okay? I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm going to tell you what it's talking about. There was a queen, her name was Candace of Ethiopia. She's the queen of Ethiopia. And she had sent her treasurer into Israel for to do some kind of business. And so that treasurer is sitting in a chariot, and he's reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And Philip, the evangelist, is just, the Lord told him, the Spirit said to him, "Go overtake this chariot." And he did. And when he got there, he heard this treasurer reading Isaiah 53 out loud. And so Philip, being the good evangelist, says, "You understand what you're reading?" He goes, "How can I unless some man guides me?" So Philip got up in the chariot and he begins to explain to him that Isaiah 53 is an Old Testament passage about Jesus. And this guy hears the gospel for the very first time and gets saved. He gets saved. Hallelujah. Now, a really cool story about this particular passage that Dr. Barclay told, and I have told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. But Dr. Barclay, several years ago, was asked by the Hebrew University in Jerusalem to come over there and help them to integrate, if that's the right word, Ethiopian Jews back into Israel. There were many Ethiopian Jews that were coming back to Israel. And so they had given them farming land, and they had were getting them started to be citizens of Israel again. And so they had different people from different walks of life to help with this process. But they said to Dr. Barclay, because he asked him, "Well, why would you want me to come?" And they said, "Well, we want a Christian minister to come and be a part of this." And when they got there, they said, "The problem that we're having with them is they won't renounce Jesus as Messiah. They want to say Jesus is Messiah, and we tell them, no, you're back in Israel." Now, many of the Jews, Israel, no. They never accepted Jesus as the Messiah. But these Ethiopian Jews did. And so when they came back, the governor of Israel was saying, "Now, you have to forget about all that. You're back in Israel now. Jesus isn't the Messiah." And they said, they told Dr. Barclay, they said, "We cannot get them to quit saying Jesus is Messiah." Like, if he's going to help them, stop. And he said, "I said one thing to him." He said, "Have you ever asked them why? You ever ask them why they won't deny Jesus as Messiah? They said, no, we never thought about that. So they asked him. Here's what they said. They said, around 2,000 years ago, our Queen Candace sent a treasurer in to Israel, and he brought the gospel back to us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
I love what Dr. Barclay said. He said, I said to myself, Philip, I don't know if you can hear this or not, but if you can, this has to be one of the best days of your life. Thank God he obeyed and joined himself to that chariot. 2,000 years later, people are still believing Jesus because Philip the evangelist joined himself to that chariot and led one man to Jesus Christ. What about the man that led Billy Graham to Jesus Christ? My brother Hagin. My Lord. It's important to obey, isn't it? I said it's important to obey, isn't it? Come on, this is. Remember what this year is? Are you going to help me more this year? You're either going to help me more or you're going to pay me more. I ain't working this all by myself. So, now here's what, that is just fantastic. That 2,000 years later, there's Jews that confess Jesus as Messiah, Ethiopians, because this man brought the gospel back. Hallelujah. Now, verse 36 now. Now, as they went down the road, I'm reading out of the New King James this morning. As they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Now, listen to this. Then Philip said, if you will join our church, you may be baptized. Oh, I missed that. Then Philip said, if you will become a part of our denomination, you may be baptized. Anyone said, is it? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. Now notice this. And he went his way rejoicing.
Amen.
You know what? I've been rejoicing ever since I was baptized.
Amen.
I haven't stopped rejoicing.
Amen.
I'm still rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
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 I'm still rejoicing over it. Praise God. Now what I wanted you to see is this. What is the qualification for being baptized? Because, you know, a lot of churches, you know, use baptism like, if you want to join our church, then you got to be baptized. If you want to join our denomination, then you have to be baptized. But let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to the root. Philip said the reason you baptized is because you believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart.
Amen.
With all your heart.
Amen.
With all your heart.
Yes.
And I have all, you know, underlined. All. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? It means you've decided to turn from your old way of life.
Amen.
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 You've decided to turn from your old way of life, and you're committing to a new way of life. Amen. You're committing to be a disciple. A disciplined one. What does that mean? One that's committed. Amen. One that's you're not just a casual follower. See, if you only can serve God when it's convenient, you're not a disciple yet. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you're not a disciple yet. A disciple is somebody that obstacles don't stand in their way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Like Brother Hagin used to tell a story, I don't know if I remember it all right, but it was funny. A guy used to write his girlfriend and tell her how much he loved her, you know. He said, I'd swim to widest river to come and see you. I'd walk through the lowest valley to come and see you. I'd climb the highest mountain and come and see you. And honey, if it doesn't rain Saturday, I'll be over. Too many times we're like that. You know, we tell God all we'll do, but then one little obstacle. I said one little obstacle. I remember, I remember many years ago, back in the late 80s, we were having church in Huntingburg, there up on the hill, where Pastor Jerry got born again. And it was a Friday night service, and it was cold. I'm telling you, it wasn't just a little cool, it was cold. I'm thinking it was might have been single digits outside. And we got into the church there, and the furnace had quit working. There wasn't any heat. And I mean, it was cold in there. And so, trying to be compassionate, you know, and show compassion and empathy with the people, I just got up and said, well, we're just going to let you go home. And because there's no heat here. And I mean, it was like very cold. And so I said, okay, go home. Nobody left. Nobody left. They all stayed there. So I just said, well, if y'all stand, we're having church. So we just went in and have church. See, those people, they weren't going to see any obstacles. We're going to have church. I said, we're going to have church. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want to talk about this because, you know, what the qualification, let's just talk about the qualification for baptism. Well, the first thing is you have to believe with all your heart. You have to believe with all your heart. See, one of the things that people need to know, you know, is the Bible, let me say this to you. The Bible compares, and Peter did this. Peter, in his epistle, he compared baptism to the ark, Noah's ark. Noah's ark. Now, how many know the ark didn't save Noah? The ark didn't save Noah. His righteousness saved him. He wouldn't have been in the ark if he hadn't been righteous. The ark was just a vehicle God used that you could visibly see. See? So if he hadn't been righteous, he wouldn't have been in that ark. And I mean, God could have done a lot. God could have done it a lot of different ways. He didn't have to use an ark. He could have had it. God could have taken him and his whole family to heaven until this was over with. Mm-hmm. Amen. He could have done a lot of different things. But God chose the ark, and for whatever reason, that was God's choice. And so that ark, see, because you hear people say, well, I mean, there's like one church that, you know, and I'm not attacking them, but I'm just making a point. It says baptism is what saves you. Well, no, baptism doesn't save you. You don't get baptized unless you are saved. You already got to be saved. Amen. So just like the ark, see, Peter talked about that in his epistle in the third chapter. He talked about that the baptism is like the ark. The ark was just a visible sign that Noah was righteous. Amen. See, it just showed his righteousness. Everybody could see he was righteous because of the ark, but it didn't save him. Jesus said we're to be baptized because it fulfills all righteousness. What does that mean? That means it's a sign out to the that we've committed our lives to Jesus Christ. Praise God. And I'm going to show you what that means, what we're saying when we're baptized. Let's go. I'm going to look about four passages of Scripture, but I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So what's the qualification to be baptized? You got to believe with all your heart. Come on, people, wake up this morning. You got to believe with all your heart. All of it. What does that mean? I am committed. Amen. There is no turning back. This is it. I'm changing my life for good. I know some of my old friends, when I got saved, some of them thought, well, he'll be back. Well, here we are. I hope they're not still waiting because it's been 40 years. I haven't come back yet. Amen. How many know God changes you, right? It's like I told you, I think it was Wednesday night, I ran into an old friend at a restaurant. I hadn't seen him in a long, long time. And I really wouldn't have known who he was, but the gentleman that was with me, he knew him too, and he recognized him. He said, look over there. And I looked over at the table, and I still didn't know who it was. And then he told me who it was. I said, well, I'm going over there. So I went over there, and we got to talking, you know. And he said, "You remember when we used to play poker and all?" "Yeah, I remember that. I remember those days." He said, "I heard you're a preacher." I said, "Yeah." His words to me, he said, "Who would hire you to preach?" I said, "Well, you know, God does change people. You know that?" His wife seemed to understand it. I got something out of her when I said that. He was like, he still saw me as the guy playing poker. You know what I'm saying? But God changes you, right?
Amen.
See that when I got baptized, I'd already given my life to Jesus, of course. But it's just, I'm showing something here. I'm testifying. It's Jesus said it fulfills all righteousness.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read a couple verses there. We're not going to preach long this morning, but what I got to share with you, it's really good for you to know about baptism, and because really, if you understand baptism, you'll understand what happened to you in Christ, and you'll understand what your future holds for you and the way you should live, see? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So this is the type. They were all baptized unto Moses. How many of you, you're getting ready to be baptized unto Christ?
Amen.
But what happened here? Well, see, when he talks about the sea, he's talking about when Israel went through the Red Sea, some significant things happened to them. When they went through that Red Sea, it was a type of baptism. It was like they were, Paul said this way, they were baptized unto Moses. So it's a type of baptism, and something happened to them. Number one, their enemies drowned. They left them behind. Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, they left their past behind. That's it for Egypt. Amen. They never went back there again. That's it. Now, some of them wanted to go back, but they died in the wilderness. But they never went back again. Number three, they committed to follow God into a new land, a land of promise, a new way of life. That Red Sea marked something in Israel's life. It marked something in their history. It marked something in their nation. It meant this slavery, this bondage to Egypt, which is a type of the world, that's done with. All my enemies are dead.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Now, you know, they don't have any power in my life any longer. My enemies don't. Before I gave my life to Jesus Christ, even though I was young, I seemed to have quite a bit of sickness at times. When I was, 12 years old, I contracted a blood disease. And, at first it just seemed like this is just nothing, not much to it. The doctor said, in those days, you wouldn't have specialists. Your family doctor did everything. Yeah. Amen. He did it. He didn't do surgery, but for the most part, but he did about everything else. And he was like, I just believe when the cold weather hits, it'll kill this thing. And I don't know what the cold weather had to do, but it didn't go away. And it kept plaguing me. And I would have things go wrong in my body and so forth, and I've still got scars on my body from it to this day that were things that it caused on my body. And anyway, so I'd have to go get a shot once a week to kind of curtail this thing, and did it for years. It didn't go away at all, and I could feel it coming on. I'd feel it, when it was getting ready to flare up in my body. I could feel the feverish feeling, feel the aching, and feel the all that, and it was coming on me. And then I would have the flu at least a couple times a year, stuff like that and all that. But did you know what? Now, I'm just bragging about Jesus, all right? After I gave my life to Jesus Christ and found out that by His stripes I was healed, that blood disease went away.
Yeah.
I said that blood disease went away.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something else. I haven't had the flu in years. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I wished I could do it. If I could do it, I'd get rich off of it. But it's Jesus Christ. My enemies got drowned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I was so bound by drugs and alcohol that, you know, people would say, you know, well, you do drugs because of peer pressure. Oh, no, I didn't have to have any peers around. I did it sometimes in the morning going to work at noon. You know, and so, and all that, all those enemies just drowned. I said, they drowned. Come on now. I remember when I gave my life. See, I when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I decided that the past was gone. My enemies were gone. That's it. In those days, we had progress from vinyl albums. Now I see the vinyl albums are back. That's the cool thing. But we had gone on from them to 8-tracks. Anybody remember the 8-tracks? And I was even around when the cassettes first started coming out, you know, music on cassettes. And I remember seeing one of my friends got a Pioneer Super Tuner cassette player, you know. I had a Pioneer Super Tuner 8-track player. And he showed me that cassette, and I thought, that ain't going to last. Well, I was right. It didn't.
Yeah.
Of course, the 8-tracks didn't either. You know, you'd hear that click, click. How many remember that? You listen to a song, click, click, and change to the next track. Well, I remember, I thought, you know, that's all gone. Now, I had 250 of those. 250 of them or more. And when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I took those out. We had an old well on our property that we burned stuff in. It was filled in, but you could use it as a burn pit. I set them on fire. I burned them all up. And I remember the smoke of that went so high to heaven that my grandmother, who lived a quarter mile away, called the house and said, "Is your house on fire?" I said, "No." I didn't say this, but I think this. No, I just left Egypt. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. And I burned everything that came out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what Paul's talking about. When Israel went through the Red Sea, it changed their destiny. It drowned their enemies. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they went on to a new life in the Promised Land.
Hallelujah.
A life of the blessing of God that flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. And the blessings are so big, they're astounding. Remember they had to carry the grapes on a pole. Remember that?
Yeah.
Wow. You need to know that. When you come out of that water, man, you're going to a new life. Amen. Now, let's go. I want to look at two more scriptures. Come on, you get something this morning?
Yeah.
I'm not preaching long, and I'm not talking about these much, but I want to touch on them. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. And talk a little bit more about why water baptism? You ever think about it? Why water baptism? I mean, why do we dunk people in water? Now, you know, some churches, I'm not against them and I'm not criticizing them. I just want to make a biblical point. Is that all right? Some churches, you know, when you're a baby, they baptize you and you're baptized. They sprinkle water on your head and you get mad and throw a fit and then they say, well, you're baptized. Well, I'm not really against that. Is it right? Well, it's not right. It needs to be explained. If you want to baptize a baby to dedicate him to the Lord, I guess that'd be okay. There's nothing scriptural about it, but it's not baptism for salvation.
Yeah, that's right.
The one qualification for salvation is you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. That baby doesn't know to do that yet. Now, if you want to do that and dedicate him, I suppose there wouldn't be anything really wrong with that. But I'd say you better explain it if you're going to do it. And don't leave people thinking that that's salvation, because it's not. Amen. So you need to know that, all right? Because you know all you got is, you know, you came in with a dry baby, you left with a wet mad baby. That's all you got. And I tell you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you came in, you got in that tank, a dry sinner became a wet sinner, and you left that way. Nothing changed. It's about the heart.
Yeah,
if you believe on Him with all your heart. Amen. And I think, now listen to me, I think that's why sometimes, you know, we pray prayers with people to get saved and they don't really change. And I know the reason is because their heart wasn't in it. See? Be like the guy that went into the bar one time and said, everybody wants to go to heaven, come down here. A bunch of them came down there, but one sat down on the other end. He went down and said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? He said, oh, when you die, when I die, well, of course I do. I thought you meant right now. I think some people, amen, you know, they may be out of pressure or maybe because they, you know, I've seen people really that I think they gave their life to the Lord and they're going to serve Him if it's convenient. If it costs me nothing. But you know, you may have to change your entire life to serve Jesus. Matter of fact, you will. But I mean, you may have to change things. I don't know him personally. I know of him. I've known of him for years. But a pastor that got born again at the Grand Ole Opry. Yeah, he went there to the Grand Ole Opry and Johnny Cash. Have me remember Johnny Cash. That was when country was cool. Yeah. I fell down in a burning ring of fire. Come on, that in the church song. What are you doing singing that? Some of you are like, I don't have no idea what that song is. Well, when you're 12 years old and you have to listen to it all the way to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, you'll learn it. Believe me. My dad had two 8-tracks, and one of them was Johnny Cash. All the way to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, we listened to Johnny Cash, you know. Man named Sue. If I were a carpenter, you were a lady, I'd marry you anyway. We heard all those. Well, Johnny Cash got born again. He got saved. I said he got saved. Amen. And there's reports that John Wayne did. One minister that I knew that knew Brother Hagin very well, very well, said Brother Hagin said John Wayne wrote him a letter and said, I read your books and like them. That doesn't mean he was saved, but I heard that before he died that he did so. He's going to be walking sideways on the streets of gold. You might get there and you might say, welcome, pilgrim. But anyway, that's my story. My story was this minister went to the Grand Ole Opry and they gave an altar call. You know, they gave an altar call there. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ, you know. And he was a beer distributor. You know, he distributed beer. And he said, you know, for a while I just kept going on my routes and, you know, just distributing beer, you know, And he said, I'd go into the bars and tell them about Jesus and preach to them. He said, you'd be surprised how many of those people would cry. One guy said, oh, I've got gospel albums in the back. Let me get them, bring them out. And he said, cry and lead people to the Lord and all. But then one day the Lord said, you need to quit that. Well, how many know if you're going to be a pastor, you don't need to be a beer distributor. See, he had changed his whole lifestyle. And the Lord told him, he said, you just quit this. He said, I don't want you to go to Bible school. I just want you to go and study the Word of God for 8 hours a day like you're going to Bible school. And so he said, I did. He said, I had some money saved up, you know, but, you know, not all that much to keep me for years, you know. He said, but I had some money saved up. He said, after about a year, that began to run out, you know. And he said, I wasn't tithing. I wasn't tithing. And he said, I wanted to. He said, but, you know, he said, I just didn't have any left. And he said, so I asked the Lord one day. I said, Lord, he said, I want to tithe. I see it's in the Word. He said, but I don't have anything left after I pay all my bills. He said, the Lord said back to him, he said, well, the problem is you got me on the wrong end. You pay me last. Boy, it's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. He said, put me first. He said, when he said that, he said, I said, well, that'll work. He said, I started putting God first. And he said, I had money from then on. Amen. And started in the ministry, you know. Well, listen, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, things need to change. You need to come into this and coming into this knowing this. I'm not going back to Egypt. Amen. I'm done. I'm going on to a new life. My enemies are drowned. Amen. Now, they may still try to resurrect them, but you just kick them right back in the water. Amen. Now, find Romans chapter 6. Go there. Romans chapter 6. Let's go to verse number, let's go to verse 3. Let's start there. Paul said, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we're buried with Him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So let me talk to you about this passage just for a little bit. Maybe you read that and say, what did all that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. It means baptism shows we've died to sin. We've died to sin. It means the old man. See, it said our old man. Amen. Our old man was crucified with Him. Our old man. What does that mean? I didn't know I had an old man. I'm just a young person. Well, the old man is your old way of living, your old heart. In other words, every man, woman, child born in this earth has something inside them that drives them to sin. It's called the old man. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, He's put to death. Amen. Your flesh may still want to do things that are wrong at times, but there's a new nature inside of you. The old man is crucified. Baptism is just burying Him. When something dies, what do you do with it? You bury it. Baptism's a funeral of your old man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's something even better than that. It's a resurrection of your new man. Yes. See, baptism, baptism causes us to go through the same process that Jesus went through. We die. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, our old man is crucified with Christ. The thing that drove us to sin is put to death. That doesn't mean Christians still don't sin. It just means they're not driven to do that any longer. They got a new nature. When they do sin, it's because their flesh tripped them up. And they repent and go back to living right. Amen? But what it shows is just like Christ died, He was buried, and He was raised again at baptism, it shows we've died. We died to Christ. We died with Christ, that is, not died to Christ, died with Christ. Now, we're put in that watery grave. But we don't leave you down there unless you're real rebellious. Hallelujah. Well, I don't think we want this one for a church member. Leave them there. No? No? We bring you out of the grave, hallelujah, and now you're to walk in newness of life. Jesus, He died, He bore our sins, He went into the grave, but on the third day, He came out with a glorified body. Hallelujah, to walk in newness of life. Now, this scripture says that when we come out of that grave, we come out in newness of life. We come out after the likeness of His resurrection. Glory be to God. In other words, listen, man, we're not just, we're coming out We're coming out a totally different person, praise God. That's what we're saying when we're baptized. Now, how many know all of this happened when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ? We died. A new man was resurrected. But God wants us to be baptized. It's the sign that we have died to ourselves. We're burying the old man. And when we come out of here, we're living in newness of life.
Amen.
Glory to God. Our life has changed. It's awesome. Amen. Now, one last scripture. Go to Galatians chapter 3. I tell you, baptism's awesome when you know what it is. It's awesome. When you don't know, it's like, well, you know, regardless of whether we knew or not, we do it because God said do it, right? You don't have to know everything. But when you know it, it means so much more to you. Amen. And so those of you that are being baptized, when you come out of that water today, you're coming out to a new life. Hallelujah. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, the Bible says this. It says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ." So baptism is putting on, it shows we've put Christ on. In other words, what does that mean? It means all the benefits of being Christ, being in Christ, are ours. Baptism is a show, amen, that we're in the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And everything, amen, that's there, we get to partake of. Glory to God. See, if you once you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's like, I hate to use these terms, but maybe it'll help you understand. It's like entering into the best club you ever been in your life. You know, sometimes you enter a club, there's benefits of being in the club. We watch just, I know you guys think I'm old, but we watch the Andy Griffith Show still. Let's see, that was 1960, 61, 62, all the way to 68, it ran. We watch it, and Barney and, is this okay? This isn't spiritual. But Barney and Andy were invited to be a part of the Esquire Club.
Yes.
Anybody ever seen that one?
Yeah.
Well, you got to watch that one. The Esquire Club, you know. Man, Andy's like, he could care less. But Barney's like, real excited, man. We're going to be real important. We'll be with all these people. You know, so Barney thought, you know, they needed to change the way they talk, you know, and talk about stocks and bonds and so forth. And Andy said, we ain't got any of them. We ain't got any stocks. Matter of fact, we ain't got any stuff. Marcy said, I know that, but we don't want them to know that. So they, and I remember Opie asked him, he said, well, they were all getting all dressed up to go see if the Esquire Club would accept them. They were going to go for a visit, you know, and they were going to see if they would get, you know, invited to be a part of the club, you know, if they vote on them and see if they would take them in. And they all got dressed up in suits, and I like what Opie said. He said, "All you guys are all dressed up, man. Oh, you look nice, Paul. Is there going to be any girls there?" "No." "Well, what are you getting all dressed up for?" "Ain't no girls there." And they went in there, and these guys, they sat around and talked and ate baked Alaska and all that. And to me, it didn't look like there were too many benefits to being in the Esquire Club.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, being in the fellowship, are you with me now? Literally, that when it talks about us being in the fellowship of His Son, that's what it's talking about, being in an exclusive club that anybody can enter in if they want in. It's open. But in this club, there's benefits. We're in the fellowship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you understand that. It wasn't too crude of an illustration, but that's really what it's talking about. It talks about the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We teach it, and it's right that we fellowship with Him, worship Him, and all that, but it means we've entered into something. We've entered into a society here, a spiritual society that has a lot of benefits. So when we're baptized, man, that's just part of the rite of partaking of all those benefits. Praise God. Hallelujah. Baptism's awesome. Glory to God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.